I know I've said this many times, and I still don't learn my lesson. I watch CBC News World in the morning when I'm having my breakfast. I like to kind of get a read on, you know, what's happening, the significant events in the world. I might need to know that information. So, did any of you watch or read the news this morning, or maybe just even over the weekend? Any of you fall prey to that habit of watching the news or reading a newspaper? See, Brad's got his hand up. Anybody else? Yeah? Yeah? Print? Are people doing it in print anymore? Yeah? I always liked reading a newspaper in the morning, but that requires a leisurely start to your day because, you know, you have to have your cup of coffee or tea, and you read through from back to front. I always found that the sports section would be missing for some reason. And lately, and I know this will be a shock, I think, to my husband, were he here, but my son, I've been watching baseball. Been watching baseball. And actually have gotten pretty knowledgeable about the Blue Jay players. Anyway, so it always impresses my kids when Mom knows something about sports. How did that happen? But if you had been, imagine if you were new to this planet. Imagine that for a minute. If you were brand new to this planet, didn't know anything about anything that went on here, and the first thing that you did was you watched a newscast or read a newspaper, what would be your impression of our world? Would you want to go home? Yeah. Whoa, we're not staying here. And I have heard that as a joke as to why alien life has not come, is because they don't want to stay here. But I do suspect, particularly in reading a newspaper or watching the news, most of what you're hearing about is not very positive. There was a saying that I can remember from newspaper people, is that good news does not sell papers. Doesn't. But I suspect visitors to our little green and blue orb would not have a very positive thought. And while I was mulling that over in my mind, I couldn't help but think about how the descriptions of the world that we live in now are akin to a very ghastly and maybe great time to be alive, echoed by Charles Dickens' words, which feel disturbingly appropriate in our time. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredibly. It was the season of light, and it was the season of darkness. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. The period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on it being received for good or for evil, in the superlative decree of comparison only. And for those that didn't recognize that quote, it's from A Tale of Two Cities. And this is indeed, at times, a dark world. But something else is really here, a new kind of life that came into the world in Christ. No longer a matter of theoretical argument, or theological argument even, that it is an achieved victory and an accomplished fact. If anyone says now that the light cannot conquer darkness, the answer is, it has been done. We may, We may be asked, to which then are we giving our faith and allegiance? To the night or the sunrise? Historian David McCullough named the unsettling reality of living in the tension between darkness and light. He called history an unfolding drama in which the men and women of a given moment could not know how everything turned out. In their given moment, Dickens's characters did not know how their story would come out. In 1941, no one knew how World War II would end. During the Great 50 Days, and that describes the season of Easter, the disciples had no idea what was ahead of them, and nor did the recipients of the writings of the Gospel of John that we heard this morning. We can't predict how the tension between darkness and light will be resolved, or what challenges we will face. But because Christ is risen, there are things we can trust. There are things for which we can hope, and there are things by which we can shape our living along the way. The scripture affirms one of them as an enduring inheritance. We have a future towards which we live and for which we hope. In our given moment, we participate a real life unfolding drama that moves relentlessly toward a grand finale. Followers of Christ in the Methodist tradition are always, and they describe this as going on to perfection. By God's grace, they are changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Now, although we may not express it in these words, we too walk a similar journey. Jesus painted a visual metaphor of our inheritance the night before he died. And I'd like to reread these words from our gospel lesson, some of them, but from the message. Don't let this rattle you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so that you can live where I live. We don't need to cramp Jesus' metaphor with rigid literalism or smother it with syrupy sentimentality to sense the light that shines in the darkness. The purpose of biblical images of life after death is not to provide detailed knowledge of the chemical composition of the pearly gates or carat weight of the golden streets, but to provide orientation for life before death. Knowing what the world will be when God's kingdom comes and God's will is done on earth enables us to participate in its fulfillment right now. Because of the resurrection, our lives are more clearly defined by our hope for what is in the future than our grief over what was lost in the past. I once read an aging copy of the sermons of the Scottish preacher Arthur John Gossop. He lived from 1873 to 1954. He was probably dead before I was born. And I did this because of having to do research for a paper. But he titled the sermon he preached after his wife's sudden death, "But When Life Tumbles In, What Then?" And with painful honesty, he said these words, "I do not understand this life of ours, but still less can I comprehend how people in trouble and loss and bereavement can fling away peevishly from the Christian faith. In God's name, fling to what? Have we not lost enough without losing that too? If Christ was right, and immortality and the dear hope of which he spoke do really lie a little way beyond. We can manage to make our way to them. But if it is not so, if there is nothing more, how dark the darkness grows. You people in the sunshine may believe the faith, but we in the shadows must believe it. We have nothing else. It is in the dark that the faith becomes biggest and bravest, that its wonder grows yet more and more. Resurrection means that Jesus' life did not end in the darkness of the tomb. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out. People who are called to proclaim the Easter gospel are a royal priesthood, God's own people, in order that we may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And this question still confronts us. To which, then, are we giving our faith and allegiance? To the night or to the sunrise? So I'd like to conclude this time this morning just in prayer. Eternal Spirit, you dwell in light, unapproachable, beyond the power of our thought to comprehend or our imagination to portray. Yet you are revealed to us in the inward presence of your Spirit and above all in Christ. We bring our fragmentary lives into the presence of your wholeness. We bring our transient thoughts into the light of your eternity. We bring our restless spirits into the calm strength of your everlasting purpose. Though we may not see all things clearly, let us see some great things plainly, that we may live by them. Give us light enough to walk by. Give us great causes to live for. We thank you for this difficult and serious time, this generation of many dangers and many open doors. Save us from living on a small scale in a great age. Lift us up to be better and to see better days in this time. Build justice into economic order. Make us equal to our international responsibilities and opportunities. Grant that we may all play a part in the things that matter most in our time, so we may leave the world a fairer home for your family. We ask this in the spirit of the risen Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.